Welcome students to module 4 of acid, bases and salt. This is the last module of the chapter. In this chapter we will be actually studying about the leftover salts and also about water of crystallization. So we have already studied about sodium hydroxide formation. So now in this module we will be actually studying about other salts that are obtained. Now the next one, if we see the electrolysis process of sodium chloride, which was brine, we have also got chlorine gas. So we will take this as raw material and we are going to make our next substance. So now when chlorine gas is used, we can actually manufacture bleaching powder. So bleaching powder is represented as calcium oxychloride or calcium chlorohypochloride. Actually it is written as CaOCl2. Now this is not the actual composition, it is quite complex, but generally for representation in our textbook we have used as calcium oxychloride. So bleaching powder is actually produced by the action of chlorine on dry slaked lime. What is dry slaked lime? It is calcium hydroxide. So it is dirty white amorphous powder with pungent smell of chlorine gas. Now when we take this raw material and pass on chlorine gas, it forms bleaching powder and water. So manufacturing of bleaching powder, it can be made by Hansen-Clever plant or by Beckmann. Now this plant consists of number of cylinder interconnected with each other in a horizontal position, right? So all these small cylinders will be connected in horizontal position by one rotating shaft having blades. Getting it? So actually there is a so if you see Hansen-Clever, you will see there is a cast iron cylinders. Many cast iron cylinders are connected, which are interconnected, which has inside rotating shafts. Now on top it is having a hopper through which slaked lime is added. Now when slaked lime is added from top, this slaked lime will keep on moving and it will reach to the lower cylinders, right? It will reach to lower cylinders because all the cylinders are interconnected. Let us for example take, there are four cylinders. First cylinder is connected to second cylinder, which is placed horizontally. Second is connected to third. Third is connected to fourth. So when you are adding slaked lime from top through the hopper, it will reach to first cylinder. Then it will slide down to second cylinder, followed by third cylinder. And lastly, it will reach to fourth cylinder. Now here you should remember, from top slaked lime is added and from below chlorine gas is passed. Now chlorine gas is light in weight, the gas will move upward. So the slaked lime is moving downward and chlorine gas is moving upward. And there is rotating shaft in every cylinder. So it is rotating, that means there is a thorough mixing of slaked lime with chlorine gas. Now when this happens, the bleaching powder which is formed will get collected to the base of the tower of if we say fourth cylinder is the last one present at the base. So from that we can easily collect the bleaching powder. Alright, so it moves from one cylinder to another cylinder. Through bottommost cylinder, chlorine gas is injected, which moves upward. And in this way, upward moving chlorine gas will meet with downward moving slaked lime and form bleaching powder, right? So calcium hydroxide on reacting with chlorine gas will form calcium oxychloride, which is nothing but your bleaching powder. Alright, now let us see the properties of this bleaching powder. It is actually yellowish white powder which smells exactly like chlorine. And this bleaching powder is soluble in water. However, some amount of white residue is always left on account of presence of unreacted slaked lime. Now the other properties, if you check, bleaching powder on coming in contact with moist air containing carbon dioxide, it will liberate chlorine gas. Okay, so this bleaching powder, when reacts with carbon dioxide, it will form calcium carbonate and chlorine gas will be released. That's why it is actually used as cleaning agent. This chlorine gas actually disinfects the materials. Now, when bleaching powder is treated with excess of dilute acid, all the chlorine present in it is liberated. Right, for example, when bleaching powder is treated with an excess dilute sulfuric acid, all chlorine gas or all chlorine present in it is liberated. So there is formation of calcium sulfate, chlorine and water. Now this chlorine is called this chlorine is actually called as available chlorine. Right, it is responsible for bleaching action of bleaching powder. So the real bleaching agent present in bleaching powder is the chlorine, and this chlorine comes out, it gets liberated when it is reacting with dilute sulfuric acid or any other acid. As baking soda is also called as sodium hydrogen carbonate. Now it is commonly used in kitchen for making crispy food items. Sometimes it is used to cook food fastly, like you can cook gram chana very fast. Now if you check the manufacturing of baking soda, it is done by Solvay process. You can actually check this method with diagram on Google. It is actually manufactured where the primary product is taken as salt again. So sodium chloride, when reacts with ammonia, water and carbon dioxide, it actually produces ammonium chloride along with sodium hydrogen carbonate. So this sodium hydrogen carbonate is our baking soda. So on commercial scale, sodium hydrogen carbonate is formed as an intermediate product in the carbonation tower when sodium carbonate or washing soda is prepared by Solvay process. So actually, in the preparation of sodium carbonate, which is also called as washing soda, the intermediate product which we get is sodium hydrogen carbonate. Alright, so if you check the uses of this sodium hydrogen carbonate, it is used to make soft and spongy materials. It is one of the ingredients in antacid because it neutralizes excess acid in stomach. It is also used in fire extinguisher. The chemical name of compound is sodium hydrogen carbonate. So it is produced using sodium chloride. Now, if you check this, if we can also use it for making baking powder. The name was baking soda, right? But we can use this baking soda to make baking powder. Now, what is the difference between baking soda and baking powder? Baking soda is sodium hydrogen carbonate. But when you talk about baking powder, it is combination of baking soda and a mild edible acid such as tartaric acid. So actually, if you combine sodium hydrogen carbonate with tartaric acid, mild edible acid means which you can eat, so then the component which you get is called as baking powder. So when baking powder is heated or mixed in water, the following reaction takes place. It is actually sodium hydrogen carbonate plus hydrogen ion from any acid, from basically edible acid, it will form carbon dioxide and water, plus the sodium salt of acid will be formed. So carbon dioxide produced during this reaction will cause bread or cake to rise, making them soft and spongy. Let us see the next salt, which is washing soda. Washing soda is sodium carbonate decahydrate. Its chemical formula is Na2CO3.10H2O. It is a molecule of sodium carbonate having 10 molecules of water of crystallization. Anhydrous carbonate is also called soda ash. Now if you talk about manufacture of washing soda, it is manufactured by Solvay's process, also called as ammonia soda process. There are many more methods. In this, basically three steps which takes place. First step, where the NaCl or salt reacts with ammonia, water and carbon dioxide.
When I say ammonia, water and carbon dioxide, together they form ammonium hydrogen carbonate. And this ammonium hydrogen carbonate actually reacts with sodium chloride, forming sodium hydrogen carbonate and ammonium chloride. Now this sodium hydrogen carbonate actually on heating releases anhydrous sodium carbonate. Anhydrous sodium carbonate, when treated with water, it becomes crystalline and then you get washing soda. Now if we talk about the properties of washing soda, it is generally transparent crystalline solid, and when it is exposed to air, it loses 9 molecules of water of crystallization and form monohydrate. This process is known as efflorescence. Okay, and if we talk about uses, it is used in softening hard water. It is also used in household cleaning agent. It is used to manufacture glass and dry soap powders. It is used in manufacture of caustic soda, sodium phosphate, water glass, etc. And very important, when you go to 11th and 12th standard, it will be also used as standard base in acid-base titration. Now let us know whether the crystals of salts are really dry. Do you think the crystals that you see, for example, just now we discussed about washing soda, is this crystal dry? Or the crystals of copper sulfate, is it dry, which actually appears blue in color? Now let us see this. In order to find out, let us perform an activity. In this activity, we are going to see the crystalline salts, whether it contains water of crystallization or not. Now for this, we will proceed with heating a few crystals of copper sulfate in a dry boiling tube. Again, here we have to take a dry boiling tube, and we will observe the color change of copper sulfate after heating. Before heating, you know, the color will be blue. But after heating, do you think the color will remain same, or will there be any change in the color? Also, you are supposed to check whether there is any water droplets in the boiling tube, because we took dry boiling tube. So when you observe, you are going to see water vapor get condensed in a test tube and color of blue crystal changes into white. On adding water to this anhydrous copper sulfate, it changes into blue again. So what chemical reaction is occurring? On heating, copper sulfate pentahydrate, that is blue vitriol, will change into copper sulfate anhydrous, right? And 5 water molecule of crystallization will get released. So what is conclusion here? Crystalline substances, they although seems to appear dry, but they always have water of crystallization, which is lost on heating. Please understand one thing, this water of crystallization is very important because it gives a particular shape to the crystal and color to the crystal of the salt. Water of crystallization is a fixed number of water molecule present in one formula unit of salt. So if you take sodium carbonate, it has 10 washing soda, it has 10 water molecule of crystallization. If you talk about gypsum, it is calcium sulfate with 2 water molecule of crystallization. So different salts have different water molecule of crystallization. So water of crystallization or hydrated salt gives color shape to the crystal salts, and on heating these hydrated salt becomes anhydrous. How? By becoming powder, and they will lose color and shape, and water of crystallization will be released. Also, this anhydrous substance are used to test moisture present in the liquid. Now let us take another example of salt which has water of crystallization, such as plaster of Paris. Now when you talk about plaster of Paris, it is actually calcium sulfate hemihydrate.
Now hemihydrate, because half water of crystallization is present. Now this plaster of Paris is actually made from gypsum, which is calcium sulfate dihydrate. So calcium sulfate dot 2H2O. Now when you heat calcium sulfate, you should remember that the temperature should not exceed 100 degrees Celsius, because if you increase the temperature, there will be complete loss of water of crystallization and it will result into anhydrous calcium sulfate, which is also called as dead burnt plaster. So instead of getting plaster of Paris, you will get dead burnt plaster. So remember, you have to heat this gypsum, which is calcium sulfate dot 2H2O. When you heat it at 100 degrees Celsius, it will get converted into calcium sulfate hemihydrate, and 1.5 molecule of water will be released. So plaster of Paris is written as calcium sulfate dot half H2O. How is it possible to have half a water molecule attached to calcium sulfate? Now to answer this, you should know that the compound two calcium sulfate molecules are attached to one water molecule. That means there will be one calcium sulfate, another calcium sulfate, and both calcium sulfate will share one molecule of water. That's why we write calcium sulfate hemihydrate, or you can write two calcium sulfate dot H2O. Even that is correct. So now here remember, calcium sulfate hemihydrate or plaster of Paris is actually used for making molds and other things, but it is not used as drying agent. For drying agent, you actually use anhydrous calcium sulfate. So both have different role. Calcium sulfate dihydrate means if it has two water of crystallization, then it becomes gypsum, whose property is very much different. And when you heat it at 100 degrees Celsius, it turns into calcium sulfate hemihydrate, which is plaster of Paris. Again, its function is different. Its property is different. And if you heat further, it will become dead burnt plaster, which is calcium sulfate anhydrous. Again, its chemical property is different than others, which is used as drying agent. So all three are different. Here on heating, you can see different water of crystallization obtained. So on heating water of crystallization, or on heating hydrated salt, you get anhydrous salts, whose properties are different from the hydrated salt. So let us see the uses of plaster of Paris. It is used in making toys, decorative and cosmetic materials, and also it cast for statues. It is the major constituent of surgical bandages that are used for setting fractured bones. It is used in laboratory for sealing the air gaps in apparatus to make it airtight. It is used for making fireproofing materials. It is also used for making blackboard chalk. So actually, this plaster of Paris is very important based on its different uses. So we have seen different kinds of salt, and also some salts have water of crystallization, which gives a particular color and shape to that particular crystals. And on losing water of crystallization, it becomes powdery, and it also loses its color and shape. And also we have seen about the crystals of salts, whether they are really dry or not. So generally they appear dry, but they have water of crystallization, which on heating can be liberated and form anhydrous salts. So children, in this entire chapter of acid, bases and salt, we have studied about acids, bases and salts. We have also seen various properties of acids and bases, along with properties, preparation of salt and the uses of salt. Children, please go through all the modules and recap all the important points given in this chapter. So all of you, stay healthy, be safe, maintain social distancing. Take care, all of you children.